Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up October 14th through the 16th in Texas. So call us today at 210-822-8201 or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan Darty, and we have a special guest on the phone with us today, Lynn Cherry. Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. So we're excited to have Lynn with us. She's going to be sharing her story with us and just some insights that might be really helpful to the wives out there. But before we get started, I just want to let our listeners know, as we do periodically, that we are a listener-supported broadcast. What that means is the only way you're hearing my voice is because we've had generous partners come alongside of our ministry and give to us in order that we might be able to continue putting these programs out to benefit listeners and just encourage you in your growth and your pursuit of greater integrity. So if you'd like to learn about all of the ways that you can come alongside and partner with us, simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link. So Lynn, we do want to introduce you to our listeners and just let them get to know you. And I think the best way to do that is if you would just maybe share your story with our listeners, kind of where you've come from and where God has brought you, especially now in recent years.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, I have been married for 25 years. My husband and I celebrated our anniversary this summer, which was a great milestone for us, especially knowing there were a few years, we call them the dark ages, there in the middle when we really didn't know if our marriage was going to make it through. So that was a great celebration this summer. We were married probably for about 6 years, and then I got pregnant with our first son. That pregnancy just happened to coincide with this brand new thing that came into our home called the internet. And so, you know, here I was pregnant, struggling with being tired, having some body image issues, and it just so happened that my husband now had access to the internet in our home, and I remember thinking something's not right. Like, just so I'd walk by our home office and I just feel like something's not right in there. But at the same time, I kind of felt like whatever it is, I don't want to know. And I just chose to respond with denial for a long time. You know, that was my tried and true coping mechanism for life in general. Avoidance and denial. And, you know, so that's what I did for a long time, kind of had that feeling something's not right. And then 3 years later, we had our second son. And I remember the week we brought him home from the hospital. It was up late at night, feeding him. I noticed the light was on in the home office, and I just thought, you know, this is great. I'm not the only adult awake in the middle of the night. And I just walked right in and saw pornography on the computer screen over my husband's shoulder. You know, at that point, I came, you know, it's right there in front of my eyes, this issue in his life. And yet I did the only thing I knew to do. I closed the door, I backed away, and I just did the best I could to keep on pretending.
So now, was your husband aware that you'd walked in?
You know, I'm not sure. That's something like we've talked about. You know, did you know I was in there? I don't think he was really aware that night that I had seen him or that I had seen what was on the computer.
Mm-hmm. So what was that moment? What was that moment like for you emotionally? I mean, I know you said you walked out, and I mean, you said kind of your typical coping mechanism was denial and avoidance, and but in that moment, emotionally, what did that feel to you like? Feel like to you as a woman?
You know, that I think there's a couple things that hit me in that moment. The very first thing was I felt a tangible, just it's hard to describe, just that. Heat, or, you know, like the feeling of lust, of that desire that's gone a little bit off the rails. I felt that, and then almost immediately felt shame. Just like the enemy, you know, the 1-2 punch of lust getting you to do something and then following it up with condemnation. Like I felt that in the room, and I walked away just feeling stunned a little bit, confirming in a way that suspicion that I had lived with for a while, that something really wasn't right. Like now there it is. I saw it. When I look back at that night, I really believe something in me died. And I know that internally, I just decided at that moment, my life was over. I would probably never be a happy person again, but still not willing to give up on a life for my two sons. And so that's what carried me probably for another 4 years is, you know, I'm going through the motions, I'm existing, but I'm doing everything I can to still provide a life and a family for our two boys.
So what happened then? You said for the next 4 years. Does that mean this thing just went underground again for 4 more years, or what happened after that night?
Oh, sad but true. Yes, another 4 years of denial. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somehow I managed to cope fairly well. But in about 2004, I started to notice something about myself that scared me a little bit. You know, I was okay being sad. I was okay feeling lonely, but I got angry. And I grew up in church, love Jesus, and I started swearing. I had never sworn in my life. I was so angry, and I would, you know, there'd be some little thing that happened, and I would go in our bedroom, shut the door to the bedroom, shut the door to the bathroom, shut the door to the little room where the toilet is, and just, you know, scream and shout and swear. And I remember thinking, I don't like the person I'm becoming. What is happening to me? And I realized like all the emotions and the pain and the lonely side stuffed in for so many years just started spewing out. And the anger really scared me. I'd never been an angry person, and I just thought, I need help. I knew I needed help. I felt like such a basket case. And I remember telling David, my husband, listen, I have to get help, and you can either come with me or I will go alone, but I can't live like this anymore.
And how did he respond to that kind of breaking point in you?
It was pretty scary. You know, when he talks about that moment, he looks at it with gratitude. And he's like, I know that that was Lynn loving me ultimately to confront me. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, you know, it just felt like this, maybe we might not make it. You know, this could be the end of our relationship. We really were so broken in our, each individually, but in our relationship as well.
So then that was kind of your breaking point, right? So, so when did your husband get to his breaking point?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I know, so it was 2004. We started a 12-week therapy program with a group here in Austin and walked through that with them. You know, I know that he also reached out to you, Jonathan, and mm-hmm. he found a lot of support and just knowing he wasn't alone in the struggle. I remember him reading your newsletter from Be Broken and finding you guys online, and I know that was a great resource for him as well.
We met a few times at a Chili's on 35, too. So
yes, yeah. Man, I'm so thankful for your ministry, and it's been an important part of our recovery story.
So together, you guys were both starting to at least move in the direction of trying to find some help. What were some of the initial, because I know there's a difference in terms of how a woman and a wife will go through her healing process and how a husband or a man will go through his recovery and healing process. And then when you think about that together as a couple, you guys, at least it sounds like you guys started to attempt to go on this journey together. But then were you realizing we've got very different needs in how we address the issues before us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I think I made the initial call to the counselor, and I remember going to that appointment and thinking we were both scared, feeling like David was mad at me. Like he was just mm-hmm. mad at me that I have initiated this process, that I'm exposing him. But then almost immediately when we started that 12-week program, David began for the first time to feel hope. Like he wasn't mm-hmm. alone, and that there were tools that he was picking up in this class that were helping him. You know, he started using online accountability software and just some of the other resources like knowing what to do with temptation, not feeling like temptation is failure, but knowing what to do when temptation comes and putting safeguards in place and recognizing the triggers that would come his way. And he just began, he fully engaged in the process and he began to find hope. But then for me, that was when the bottom fell out. Mm. And I like no longer living in denial, and I really don't know how to process my reality. So things got worse for me. When we started going to therapy, things got better for David. Things got worse for me, having to own the reality of my life. I remember one therapy session, you know, I was just crying. It was our turn to share our homework with the other couples in the group, and I'm crying. I can hardly talk. My throat is tight, and I'm like trying to squeeze the words out and just yelled at our therapist, like, why is this so hard for me? And I remember him leaning back in his chair, popping a mint in his mouth, and just saying, well, it's hard for an ostrich to pull her head out of the sand. And, you know, not very nice of him to call me an ostrich, but that was me. You know, it was so hard to acknowledge what had happened in my story after all those years of denial. And it wasn't until, you know, much further in the process when I began to feel like there was hope for me. Like I could have joy. I could have peace. I could have a life outside of just surviving for my children. So, you know, that was a longer process for me. And then as far as coming together, I remember one day reading a passage in the Bible, and my faith was definitely an important part of my journey. But I remember reading in Psalm 143, where the psalmist says, the enemies pursued my soul and crushed me. Mm. And I just saw like my crushed, flattened, broken soul. But later in the passage, he says, I lift my soul to you. And, you know, something just happened that night. That passage came alive to me, and I saw myself holding on to my brokenness like a trophy of all that I had survived and holding that over my husband's head. Like, you hurt me, but I made it through, and I'm a survivor. And I knew, like, that survivor trophy was all about me, and that was not about our relationship. And if I ever wanted our relationship to be restored, for there to be an us or a we in the restoration process, that I had to let go of that trophy. and just release it. And that's, I think, when we began to move forward together and experience that restoration as a couple.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about your individual process, because, you know, one of the things, you know, the story of me and my wife, and of course, the listeners, a lot of the listeners of this program know our story too, in terms of how our marriage was restored and all of that. And yet, you know, we've been doing this, full time for over 13 years now, and we've come in contact with literally thousands of couples and just going through really difficult times. And, you know, early on, we would, when my wife and I would tell our story, one of the things that shocked my wife, especially when she would tell her side of the story and tell it, is she'd get these angry, bitter responses from wives that would say, "Well, isn't that good for you that your relationship got all worked out? And, you know, you've got a husband that really wanted to actually work on this, but you know what? I'm drowning in this. My husband's a slug. He's not doing anything. And in fact, we're going through a divorce." So
yeah.
As we kind of hone in on your process as a woman, you know, I especially think about when you were confronted with that by that counselor about your brokenness, your denial, your sticking your head in the sand. How did you respond to that? Because that's not something that you could pass off to David.
Right.
So what did that feel like to have to go through a process that said, okay, this feels like this whole can of worms got open because of my husband? Why am I now having to deal with stuff that's not actually connected to him? How did that feel to go through that process?
Oh, yeah, that definitely fed into the anger that I was feeling, like, this is so not fair. Mm-hmm. It's not fair that I am having to do all this work, and really it's all his fault that we're in this place. You know, there were many days where I was so angry at the process.
So how would you encourage maybe the women out there who are starting to, maybe in their own personal journeys, regardless of what their husband is doing, they're starting to recognize there are things in me that need healing and need work. And I don't know if I want to address them, because I really would like to keep all of my anger pointed at my husband. I'd like to keep all of my, you know, claws out. And the reality is we all individually have brokenness in our being that needs to be addressed regardless of what happens in a relationship.
We do. And I think that is a light bulb moment in recovery is when you realize, oh yeah, I am broken too. And I can remember just one year, I work at a church, so one year this teenagers left behind a suitcase, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm opening that summer camp teenage suitcase. Who knows what's in there? But I just thought, I came into my relationship with baggage, you know, and David came with baggage. And I think our life luggage coordinated in the most broken way. You know, here's a guy who's addicted to pornography and a woman who's willing to deny everything. You know, our brokenness made us even more broken together. It just fed the problem. So, and yet, I thank God I am not that girl anymore. I am not the girl who sweeps everything under the rug and just pretends like she's fine. You know, is it easy for me to always own whatever comes my way in life? No, it's still not natural for me. But I know the cost of living in denial and what that's going to do to my soul. And I know how to deal with issues. And I know the fruit of doing the work. And I'm so grateful to not be still stuck in my old habits and ways of coping with life. You know, am I grateful for the pain that I went through to get to this point? No. You know, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But I think sometimes, unless we experience pain, we don't change. Mm-hmm.
And what I hear you saying, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like what I'm hearing is the process you went through has established in a new and a fresh and a profound way your true identity that is not enmeshed or bound up in any relationship, whether it be your husband or your kids or anyone else. it's you have found a centered place in you, in your relationship with God, that means kind of whatever your circumstances are, there's a new you that has emerged. And I think sometimes, sometimes so many wives, especially, there's this sense of identity that is so, in almost an unhealthy way, enmeshed into their marriage relationship.
Right.
That they don't understand who they are as a daughter of God. And
right.
It sounds to me like that was kind of the journey that you were on in your healing process.
Yes. I mean, I clung to Psalm 23, He restores my soul. And, you know, I think in the middle of the journey, you want, can I just have things go back to the way they were, you know, back maybe when we decided, yes, let's marry this person and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And can we just go back to that place? There is no going back to anything in the past, whether it was good at the beginning or bad in the middle. You can't go back to the way things were after a crisis like this, but there is going forward and there is a new beginning. And I know that, you know, our marriage is not what it was at when we first started, but thank goodness, you know, we were clueless. We didn't really know how to have a relationship. We learned so many relational tools of how to be married, how to do life with another person through our recovery. You know, there, and even now, like when we celebrated our anniversary, there's this feeling of whatever we face in life, whatever crisis, whatever tragedy, whatever struggle, whatever comes our way, we're equipped because of our recovery journey. We're equipped to face it together and to know that we can go through anything together. I mean, when you come out of the other side of the darkness of betrayal and that recovery, you're changed, and we do feel a strength in our marriage that gives us so much confidence to face the future together, whatever that might be.
So what would be some other key insights that you would want to share with the ladies out there, the women who are maybe going through this, they're at any stage in this process? What are some of the key insights that you would want to share with them that might be encouraging to them to continue moving forward in their journey?
I think one of the big keys for me, aside from letting go of denial, another big key in my journey was knowing I am not in control. Because there was a season where I just wanted to know where David was, what he was doing. I, you know, would call him and be like, where are you? Where are you going? And just lived with this constant anxiety and feeling like I needed to control him. And really, I needed to control everything in my environment because my world felt so out of control on the inside. I did that with my children. I think about my poor little 2-year-old at the time and just trying to do everything in my power. And I was big enough and strong enough to control him physically, you know, and I did. And, there's that desire to control that comes out of pain. And it's as old as Genesis, you know, God told Eve after the fall, you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And so there's that desire to control that comes out of our pain. And, you know, it just creates a bigger monster. Mm-hmm. And I think when I was able to finally relinquish control and realize I can't follow my kids around everywhere. I can't follow my husband around everywhere. And actually, it's totally wearing me out to try to do that, knowing that even when I felt like I'm not sure I can trust him, that I still can choose to trust God and to put my trust in him, that there is always good for me. There is always that good plan that he has for me, and there's always redemption. And, you know, that's what God is all about, is redemption and being able to take our stories and make something new and beautiful. And so, to me, relinquishing control and putting my trust in God, and then also along with that, is just I held on to scripture. I had sticky notes all over the house. in the refrigerator, in the minivan, mm-hmm. in my wallet, you know, just keeping the promises of God in front of me and knowing that there was a way through.
How important do you think it is that a woman have a support group or a support network of other women who can really pour into her and support her during this season?
Yeah, I think that's another critical thing. I had just a very small group of friends. I had three friends who knew what I was facing in the middle of it. I had a coworker who knew, and you know, there were many times I would come back to work after our therapy session, and I'd be like, okay, so now I have to send emails and spreadsheets and make phone calls and function as an employee after I just spent an hour scraping my wound. There were times that she and I would just, she's like, let's go for a walk. And we would walk around the parking lot or walk around the building. And she helped me process. She helps me unpack my baggage. I don't know how I would have made it without her. I had another friend that often watched our boys while we went to our counseling sessions. And I would, you know, go to pick up the boys and just crash on her sofa and cry. And we would rehash the whole therapy session that had just happened. And, you know, she helped me process that. And just because of the denial, I think I needed that extra processing. Mm-hmm. And then one of our pastor's wives also knew about what we were going through. And I would call her or text her. And I remember calling her and thinking, she's got to be looking at her caller ID and going, oh, no, it's Lynn Cherry again. But she just kept answering my calls and helping me move forward. And I remember one time in particular, we had come home from come back to work from a therapy session, and David was mad. We were not good, you know. And sometimes therapy just stirs up all mm-hmm. that mess. So we were not in a good place, and we came back to the parking lot. We worked together at the same church. So he got in one vehicle, he got out of our vehicle, he got in his vehicle, and he just took off out of the parking lot. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, I need to chase after him. Like, where's he going? And I had this desire to, you know, put the van in drive and like fly after him. But I knew I couldn't do that. And I knew, number one, I can't outdrive him. There's just no way that's going to happen. But also knowing that's not going to be helpful for us. And I remember calling Pastor Kelly, and I remember her telling me, like, God has David. God has David, and God has you. And David doesn't need you to chase after him, because God has him, and you just need to breathe. I'm like, so, you know, sitting there in the van, just trying to breathe, catch my breath, knowing I just have to trust God with David. You know, that was kind of a habit mm-hmm. pattern and a way that we had coped over the years in our relationship. Whenever there was, you know, some frustration, David would shut down, and I would be like chasing after him, you know, trying to reengage and trying to, you know, reopen up the door to our communication again. And that was an unhealthy way to live, and we had to break that pattern. It wasn't easy.
Yeah. Lynn, we are almost out of time. We've got about a minute left, but I want our listeners to know how they can get access to your book and any other resources that you wanted to share with them. So how can folks get a hold of your book?
Yeah, absolutely. My book is called Keep Walking, 40 Days to Hope and Freedom After Betrayal. And my name is Lynn Marie Cherry. They can find it on Amazon. It's available in paperback and Kindle. And it contains the thoughts and scriptures that helped me walk through that darkness. I really believe it is a guide for women to find their way through whatever betrayal that they're facing. So I would love for them to check that out. And,
yeah, and
my website.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give your website.
And my website is just LynnMarieCherryLikeTheFruit.com.
Yeah, and we will post those also with this podcast. But Lynn, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. It was an honor to be able to share my story. And I know I'm meant to share my story, because I just remember feeling so alone. Mm-hmm. And I want women to know they're not alone and that there is a way through.
Well, we appreciate it. And listeners, thank you for being with us. And we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.